You said you're not interested in a gritty RPG, but what if it's about the Philadelphia Flyers NHL mascot?
I am very interested.
If only we could take our love of reading to a new level.
Well, I've always wanted to start a book club. Book club!
For masochists and other deviants.
Hello and welcome to the Book Club for Masochists, where we read and discuss all the genres and types of literature, regardless of our actual interest in them.
Every month, we read books from a new, randomly picked genre. Then on the podcast, we discuss our reading choices, experiences, opinions, appeal factors, and other related topics as friends and library workers.
In this episode number 113, we will be doing RA for each other.
RA being reader's advisory.
If you don't know the lingo.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we should have said like reader's advisory, parentheses, RA, and parentheses.
It doesn't come across as well in the audio format.
I mean, don't we call ourselves a reader's advisory podcast?
Yeah, it's actually in our intro. So you say it somewhere in there.
My name is Matthew. I'm a librarian in Guelph, Ontario, Canada.
My name is Anna. I'm a librarian in Las Vegas, Nevada, USA.
My name is Megan. I'm an archivist in the National Capital Region of Canada.
My name is RJ. I'm a librarian in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Before we get into the episode, some announcements. First of all, RJ, we have to congratulate you on this is, you have now been on more than 50% of all episodes of this podcast.
Yay! Woo-hoo!
Woo! Thanks for having me.
So this is episode 57 for you, I believe. So that's
wow.
113. So a lot of episodes.
I did it.
Bet you never expected you would do it for this long. Other announcements. We have another of our retrospective book list of books by people of color that are from our genres that we did many years ago. And so the one we have this month is books, what is it? Nonfiction religion books by people of color. So that can be found on our website. The other one is not related to this podcast, but friends of the podcast, I suppose, in some ways. There's a charity fundraiser video game stream going on right now called Desert Bus for Hope. The video game barely matters at this point, but it's a thing that raises a whole bunch of money for children's hospitals. It's done by a bunch of people that are pretty rad, and some of them are my friends. So you can go and check that out. It's at desertbus.org.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And it'll be going on till probably this Friday. I think it'll end then. So I guess we're doing like the thing you're supposed to do in Reader's Advisory when someone asks for a book or a recommendation to a library or ask for anything, not just a recommendation, but do the like the reference interview, the Reader's Advisory interview. Mm-hmm. And so someone comes up and says, I want a blue book.
X.
And then you have to figure out what they mean by that.
Because sometimes the question they ask is not the question they actually want answered.
Right.
And so that's why we're asking follow-up questions, because each of us has chosen three areas in which we want someone else on the podcast to recommend something to us. But I would like to be able to ask a couple of questions, just follow-up questions, to make sure that I'm going to recommend something that's a little bit more towards what each of the co-hosts were thinking of, were hoping for, would more enjoy than just what's currently on the spreadsheet, because of course there is a spreadsheet.
I didn't make it this time.
You sort of did, because I made it bad and then you fixed it.
That's true, actually. You completely redid it, Matthew.
Anyway, yeah, like not originally not an episode I thought would be potentially helpful to people learning about Reader's Advisory and library stuff, but I guess this is, it's not something I got taught in school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting thing to work at. Also not something I've done in a long time.
Yeah, that's me too. I have not done RA interviews in a very long time. And I'm also very outside of the like what is currently getting published because I don't follow that anymore.
Mm-hmm. I do probably the most Reader's Advisory of the four of us, but I mostly do it for people like under the age of 12. So we'll see how doing it for adults goes. I do want to mention that this episode is vaguely holiday themed, which is why we thought to do it at this time of year. These are all
spooky Halloween things.
They're all
wrong
spooky.
Holiday.
No,
sorry,
they're that other holiday that's coming up that my other podcast is about. yeah, this is for books that we would be interested in receiving as gifts. And in theory, this might help you pick gifts for people in your life. But looking at this spreadsheet, we have some pretty niche interests. So maybe it won't. We'll see.
Ooh, yeah, we're a nice, niche-y little group.
At least one of mine might make a pretty good generic Christmas gift. But we'll get to that one later.
Me too. Me too.
I feel this is really just like an episode for people in our lives to be like, and this is why you don't buy us presents.
Just get us a good bookmark. I've definitely gotten fancy bookmarks as presents before.
Anna won't like that present.
Yeah, I don't need that one. Just give me a gift card to the local indie bookstore. That's all I need.
That's also good.
I got this covered myself. Okay, anyways, let's move forward with it. RJ, you get to kick us off.
Yes, so I'm up first as the gift seeker. The thing that I am seeking is, surprise, an indie tabletop game.
Okay, so my questions for you are, is there a specific genre you're looking for?
Not in particular. I'm trying to think if there's like any genres I wouldn't want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not into like super dark, gritty games or like really super rules heavy games. I don't want Shadowrun.
So you're looking for something more rules light then?
Probably, yeah. Or something at least more rules light than like Dungeons and Dragons. I wouldn't mind if it's like a whole bound book, mm-hmm. Which I think is probably, depending on the system, kind of rules medium to rules heavy if it's a whole book. But yeah, nothing that would take forever to read. A small book, perhaps.
And my other question is, how much character customization do you like in these when you're creating a character for yourself?
Oh, you know, I like a lot, but the folks that I tend to play with vary. I'd like some options, but I think it's not, again, I don't want Shadowrun. That joke doesn't work for anyone.
I understand it. I tried to read the rule book once. It was like reading an engineering textbook.
Yeah, it takes like 8 hours to make a Shadowrun character. Yep. And you can make them super, super specific. But
and then they're not useful because all they do is drive cars.
Can I just note, Matthew, that I now officially will never play Shadowrun with you?
If I ever play Shadowrun, if I ever run Shadowrun, it will be like, okay, make an elf that's a hacker, and I'm going to ignore all of the rules, and we'll just roll dice sometimes. Like, that's the only way to play it.
I mentioned that I didn't want dark and gritty, but I'm not opposed to horror tabletop games. I've been really interested in trying Sleepaway by Jay Dragon. Which is horror, but I think is doing some really interesting, unique things with its system.
Okay, you said you're not interested in a gritty RPG, but what if it's about the Philadelphia Flyers NHL mascot?
I am very interested.
Okay, good information to have. One more question. Do you want a game that has specific adventures or scenarios or one that is more looser in terms of what people end up doing?
I think a little structure. I don't need like a fully written adventure like in the style of the like D&D 5th edition starter set has like a whole written out adventure. Mm-hmm. I like a prompt, but kind of a loose prompt, something to go off of. I don't want like GURPS or Fate.
Okay. And there'll be links in the show notes for people that don't know what those are and want to find out for some reason.
Like me, I will be reading our show notes, apparently.
I don't believe you want to know what those are, Anna.
Possibly not.
GURPS. GURPS. I love what it, GURPS is so easy to joke about because it's such a funny name.
It is. It is. Okay. Thank you, RJ. So the book I'm looking for is a book about Slavic folklore, Eastern European folklore sort of thing, nonfiction.
So I'm the one who claimed this one. And my first question for you is, you noted specifically in here Slavic folklore prose. Does that mean does that mean fiction?
So what I mean by this was not comics, really.
Oh.
So that's what prose means. I want something that is not just a book of folktales or folklore. I would like some sort of analysis to go along with it, something that explains things or expands upon stuff and provides context for things.
So you're looking for something with a nonfiction bent that Yes. is going to kind of give it some context Mm-hmm. and history and stuff.
Yeah, I don't just want the stories. I want analysis of them as well.
Do you care if it is a book just about the folklore, but with minimal actual stories in it? Or do you want something that has stories and then additionally some context to the stories?
I don't know the stories. I don't really know a lot of the stories. So I would like some of the stories in there. But like, it doesn't have to be like, you know, full on 100 page retellings of them. It can be like, here's 5 pages of the story or something. I don't know.
Do you mind if it is rather academically dense, as there is a possibility this could go in that direction?
I don't think I want something incredibly academic, if only because the cost of it would be higher, probably.
Yeah, there's that. All right, other RA folks, is there anything else I should have asked him?
I guess the other question you could potentially ask is, like, do you want a broad overview, or is a specific country okay?
Yeah, I don't know enough to think to ask that.
And my answer is either of those would be fine.
All right, so my first one that I selected is humanism in healthcare, or humanism of healthcare as a topic.
Okay, and I chose this one. So the first question I wanted to ask you is, do you have a background into this topic already, or in healthcare in particular?
Not much. So I have no healthcare educational background or working background, particularly, other than that I'm a librarian at a healthcare academic institution, but I don't have any academic background in healthcare or experience working in healthcare. So no, I don't really, but I do have a habit of reading books. Like, this is not an area that is new to me. I do read in this area.
You do read in this area. Okay. And in terms of the kind of books you are looking for, are you looking for a reading level / audience that is more popular or more subject specific?
A little more subject specific. So I've read a few of the kind of more popular ones. So I'm looking for something that speaks a little more to the practitioner or to someone with some amount of experience in the field.
Okay. And a follow-up that was, are you looking for something that sides more towards the philosophy with healthcare, just kind of as an example? You're looking for something that's more about, say, practical application or practical impacts of humanism in healthcare?
Good question. I would say I am looking on either the side of more personal or in-depth narratives of like somebody who's experienced in working in this area, who's giving a real in-depth look at it, or a philosophy side of it. A little bit less on the practical, but I mean, yeah, that could be part of it.
And you said you've read some of the popular takes on this already. Do you have any that you can think of off the top of your head that you have read and liked or disliked?
Okay, so some of the titles that I have already are God's Hotel by Victoria Sweet. I have The Soul of Care by Arthur Kleinman. I have Black Man in a White Coat by Damon Tweedy. And there was one other I was going to mention, and it's escaping my brain at the moment because it was the one I didn't have right in front of me. So I don't know.
So were these three titles things that you had enjoyed or that you had problems with?
So I have enjoyed Black Man in White Coat and The Soul of Care quite a lot. I have not actually read God's Hotel yet. It is on my list to read. It was a gift from a wonderful friend, and I've never gotten around to reading it. This is my confession to them. I don't know if they listen to the podcast or not.
And so the style of the two that you have read are more narrative?
They're both – both of these are – the two that I've read that I'm remembering off immediately are memoir.
Okay.
Focused, but they're from practitioners. They include both a lot of personal stuff as well as like what it is like within the field. And I would like to go a little deeper into what it is like or a little more intensely into the philosophy of it in some way. Like I want it to dig a little deeper than these are getting.
Mm-hmm. I think I got an idea. All right. Thanks. So my ask was for a piece of fiction that is not a thriller, but that surprises in narrative or in content. The examples that I gave were Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead and Your Republic is Calling You, which, fun fact, are both translations.
Hmm, interesting. So I am the person working on this request for Megan. And so I'm wondering, I could look this up, but I haven't. How would you describe the genres of those two books if they're not thrillers but are surprising?
Yeah. So Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead is, I think I would describe it broadly as a mystery. Someone gets murdered and then someone else gets murdered. And so they're trying to figure out who the murderer is. And mm-hmm. our main character is trying to convince everybody that it's the animals of the forest taking revenge for people's disregard for nature. Whereas Your Republic is Calling You is more of a spy story and might actually be called a thriller, but not a straight thriller, I don't think. And the story is of a spy whose handler had been killed. He's in South Korea. He's from North Korea. And so he just sort of assumed that he'd been forgotten about and he's lived his life for the past 20 years. And then he gets a call that says, we want you to come back. And so it's a 24-hour period where he's trying to figure out what he's going to do.
Okay. Also, as far as the surprise element, are you looking for like a narrative twist or like a reveal, or do you mean something else by that term surprise?
I think what I mean is that the ending does not confirm or conform to genre expectations I might have had or narrative expectations. So the opposite, I guess, of the romance book that always ends in a happily ever after.
So the two examples are that you gave are a mystery and a thriller. Not a thriller. That's one of the things you said. And a spy story. I guess I don't know. I don't know the endings of those books, so I can't really speak to how the surprise unfolds.
I can spoil them off air if you'd like.
Yeah, that's okay. I can also like do a little research about them. I'm happy to do that. Yeah, I guess I'm wondering if it needs to be a tense story in that way, like mystery and spy fiction. I feel like even though they're not thrillers, do you have like a tension that like a literary fiction or another genre might not have? Is that what you're looking for? Or is it like anything that does not conform to genre expectations and surprises you?
It's more anything that doesn't conform. I think Your Republic is Calling You had more tension because of the compressed time period, whereas the mystery, it didn't have that same feeling of tension, and it was more about the character, our main character.
And I think my last question is, what are the qualities of a thriller that you don't like? Or how do you define a thriller? Yeah, in this situation.
I think what I want to avoid is there's a pace to a thriller where It pushes you forward really quickly. You don't have time to think about what has just happened and whether or not that's a reasonable thing for anybody to have done. Mm-hmm. So less focus on pace, more focus on either character or language elements, or like the narrative structure as a whole.
Okay, I think that is all my questions about that. Oh, and I'm next, huh? That's how this works. So my next request is for a science fiction or fantasy novel set in the contemporary real world, but the science fiction and fantasy elements are not secret or hidden or underground the way that they sometimes are in, you know, urban fantasy or, speculative fiction of that nature.
All right, so I'm the one who selected this one, which is funny given my next request. But hey, my first question for you is, how do you like your fantasy or sci-fi elements? Do they need to be the central point or just a subtle aspect of the story?
I think either one works for me. The two major examples of this kind of thing that I'm trying to describe in this request were a book I read this year that I mentioned on the podcast, which is Tell the Machine Goodnight, which is like very much about like the people and their relationships and this science fiction technology, has changed the world that they live in and intersects with their lives in a lot of ways, but I wouldn't say is like the central focus of the narrative. But the other example I can think of are like Holly Black's books. She writes fantasy young adult, and I feel like often in her work, the fantasy elements are integrated into the real world. Like everybody knows that there are vampires, or everybody knows that there are fairies. And in particular, I liked the Curse Worker series, where like some people just have magic powers, and it's much more of like a central. It's a much bigger deal that magic exists and influences a lot more about people's lives.
Other than the secret, hidden, or not having it be secret, hidden, or underground, are there other aspects of having science fiction or fantasy set in the contemporary world that you don't like?
That I don't like?
Or just aspects of science fiction and fantasy generally that you don't like?
Generally that I don't like.
Misogyny.
I was gonna say, yeah, like.
I mean, I think that was not a particular danger in our group.
I'd probably be more excited to read a book that was not about like a boring white man. That kind of goes without saying with me. But maybe it's worth saying if it's someone's first episode on the podcast. Like any diversity. Always love a queer lead. I'm trying to think if there are any like particular tropes that I'm not into, but I think I'm pretty versatile. Oh, so I thought of one. Sorry. Zombies. I don't like zombies.
Oh, okay. No zombies. Got it. Fair. How about romance within the story?
Sure.
Okay. Romance, fine.
Romance is fine.
And do you have a preference for fantasy that is more character-driven or world-building-driven?
Yeah, I think generally I prefer character-driven.
Okay. I think that's it for me. So mine, this is why I was kind of laughing about the fact that I ended up selecting this one for you, because one of my selections was just urban fantasy, and I wrote nothing else.
Yeah, these could have been arranged slightly better. So I'm curious about this. Is there a specific type of protagonist you like or dislike? I'm basically just going to ask you the same question you just asked RJ.
I know, that's fine. protagonists I like or dislike. I tend to prefer female protagonists, but I'm open to other options.
Okay.
I would say the thing that drives me the most crazy with protagonists, is protagonists who consistently choose the most illogical way to do things.
Okay.
Because it moves the... So if you read any reviews and the review is like, not sure why they did that other than that it made the story more exciting, then that's not the one for me.
Do you have like a preference for like the age rating, the audience of it? Like, is a YA book okay? Or do you just want... Are you just looking for adult fiction?
I'm probably looking for adult fiction. I mean, not that I entirely rule out YA, but I don't read very much fiction in the first place, mm-hmm. and YA is low on my list of fiction I will prefer to read. So let's just aim for the areas I'm more likely to read in.
Okay. So speaking of adultness and fiction, how sexy or romantic do you care for your books to be?
I prefer if it is not the driving part of the narrative, but I'm okay if it is a hefty part of the narrative. Mm-hmm. So for me, I one of the things I think of is some of Alona Andrews' series. So that's a pen name for a couple of authors, a husband-wife team. And they write series that are often very much presented as romance, kind of urban fantasy romance series. And it is a very hefty part of the story, but there is a huge amount of really complicated narrative going on around that with really mm-hmm. complicated world building and stuff. And that's what I care about. Like the romance is totally fine within there, but if it doesn't have a really good complicated world building and story going on in there, then I will not keep going with it.
Speaking of series, would you prefer a book in a series or a standalone novel?
I'm fine either way. I don't care.
How about length?
Don't care.
You don't. So if it's like 600 pages or 200 pages, it doesn't matter to you?
I don't care. I don't know how many urban fantasies you're going to find at 600 pages that'll match, but you know, go for it. I mean, if you can find that, power to you.
And I guess the final question is, does this have to be a novel or could it be like a short story collection?
Oh, novel, please. No, okay. Short story collections for this.
Great. Thank you. So I was even more vague in my next thing, which was just horror fiction.
Yeah. So I'll
add, this is not something I read. This is not something I really think I enjoy, but I was just really curious to see like what someone would recommend as a horror novel for me specifically.
Yeah. So listeners of the podcast might know that Matthew is flinchy towards body horror.
That's like a like yes and no.
Yes and no.
I'm thinking right now that I would rather read body horror than like actual descriptions of physical violence. But I think in the end, I would probably rather read neither of those.
Okay. So physical violence and body horror, less cool. What about supernatural or fantastical elements?
I think I definitely do want those. I'm entirely uninterested in reading about like a serial killer.
Okay.
Honestly, when I think about horror, I enjoy it is fantastical or like science fictional in some way.
So that's a yes to robots if possible.
Yep. I don't know what you're talking about. Spaceships, those are also good.
Boy, if I could find a haunted spaceship.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
Oh my gosh, please. That sounds great. Haunted house in a spaceship? That's what I want.
See if I can find that. Okay. The novel versus short story is a good question as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference?
Like maybe like a short story collection or just an individual short story?
A collection.
Okay. Maybe a short story collection would be good in this case. Because like if I wasn't super into it, then I could just move on to the next one. Honestly, if you could mm-hmm. find an entire book of short stories about haunted spaceships, that sounds great.
I'm really into this idea too now as well. I know you said you haven't read a lot of horror.
Yes.
What kind of horror have you read?
I've read a lot of comics is where my comics. Horror knowledge comes from. And there's both the more straight up horror, like the Junji Ito comics, like Uzumaki. And then mm-hmm. there's a lot of quote unquote horror comics that use the trappings of horror but are more like action adventure sort of things. And so this is things that like have vampires or werewolves or whatever, but are less about, you know, a lone person getting hunted by a vampire and more about someone killing dozens of vampires.
Do you want to be scared?
I don't know. Not too badly.
Okay, so you don't want to have to put the book in the fridge is what you're saying.
But the thing is, like, I think, like, maybe if it is about, like, you know, a robot on a spaceship, like, that is less scary to me. Although, at the same time, I'm sure I've read creepy stuff on the internet and been like, oh, no, I have to lock the window because the aliens might get me. So.
Have you read Solaris?
I watched the Soviet movie. I don't think I read the book.
So you can't think of any prose horror that you've read at all?
I don't remember.
Okay. Not even a Stephen King.
I've read a couple of Stephen King novels, and I don't remember caring for them particularly. Like, I like The Stand okay.
Mm.
And I've read a couple of others, but like nothing that really grabbed me particularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't read anything in a long time in this area because so much of my reading is now for the podcast. So
of the comic horror comics that you've read, was there a preference towards the horror, the action adventure, or was it just something that was within, like, because you read fairly broadly in comics?
Well, like, I didn't think I could actually enjoy horror until I read, like, the Junji Ito comics. And then I was like, oh, wow, I can. This is done just so well that I really enjoy it. Whereas, like, I love a good vampire story, or like Hellboy is like a quote unquote horror comic in that it has horrific stuff in it, but it's not scary.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, we'll go with this. So the next genre I asked for was poetry.
But nothing more than that. And I'm just like, oh boy. I also don't read much poetry, so this is like a challenging one for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know, like, some of the questions to ask for, like, poetry. So this will be an interesting one. So, which is why the very first thing I'm going to ask is actually, who is a poet that you particularly enjoy?
So the last poet that I particularly enjoyed was Tommy Pico, who is, I want to say First Nations, but he's from the States, so it's something different. But he's Native American, and he writes very stream of conscious, very queer poetry. And I really liked that, both because I was able to get audio versions, so that was nice. I used to be responsible for purchasing for poetry, but that doesn't mean I am well-versed in poetry. I don't have a literature background, so it's pretty much like what I've come across, what I mightn't like. The thing I thought I might like in this area is maybe nature poetry, but I'm not sure.
So you mentioned stream of consciousness. So do you like a lot of structure or a lot less structure in the poetry, or do you know if you care?
I feel like I don't appreciate structure.
Fair.
That's an out of context quote. That's great.
You also mentioned audio. So would you actually be particularly interested in options for hearing the poetry read?
I would. It's not a deal breaker.
And other than nature, are there any other themes or aspects that you think would be particularly motivating or interesting to you?
I think humor is a big pull for me. I seem to recall reading Neil Gaiman's The Day the Spaceships Came or something like that, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. It's a very humor-filled piece.
I do not know that. What's it called? The Day the Spaceships Came?
I think that's what it's called. It's one in, I think the collection was called Fragile Things. And it's this poem about this person trying to get the attention of a lover, I think. And it's just this sequence of outrageous fictional events. Like the spaceships came, the dark ones rose, the meteor hit, like that kind of thing over and over.
Fun. And actually, you brought up something good in there. Are you interested in a collection, or would, as in different poets within it, or a collected work of a single poet, or something that is themed by them? Like they've themed it. They've been collected together by an editor, or somebody has, an editor has collected a whole bunch of different poets.
I tend to prefer single author collections. Okay.
Megan, I thought of a horror thing I enjoy reading.
Okay.
The SCP website.
Oh.
Are you familiar with this? What? SCP is this website of... it's set up like a kind of a government... like a non-government organization, government organization, secret organization that deals with spooky objects.
SCP stands for Secure, Contain, Protect, I think?
Yep. Yeah, I think that's it. And so it's just like these weird kind of clinical descriptions of objects and the spooky stuff they do. And there's some really great stories on it.
I've explored it a little and it gets too spooky. It ranges really widely from just like very clever and sometimes very funny spooky objects and to like just like super unsettling.
And it plays with format a lot. And so you'll have like audio logs or like not like text, like transcription of audio logs and reports, and you'll have like redacted material and things like that as well. So I'll send you a couple, and I'll put a couple in the show notes of ones that I really enjoyed.
There are like some objects that like affect the observer's memory, and so like the entries about them are very creepy and hard to follow.
The one that comes to mind immediately is about the staircase that just goes down forever.
I think of two. I think of the, I guess I think of three. We can't talk about this. We have to finish this part of the episode.
Tangent.
There's the prank monkey. It's one of the goofier ones. It's like a statue of the monkey that awards people who pull the best pranks that led to a giant prank war in SCP.
Okay.
Megan, last thing for you. Do you have any kind of preferences around either contemporary poets or more classic poets? Do you care of a time frame?
No.
Okay. So my next one that I asked for is feminist essay collection.
So I'm fulfilling this request. And my first question, are you looking for a feminist essay collection by one author or more of a... anthology or compilation of multiple authors?
I think I could go either way on that. I feel like I have a tendency to be drawn to single author collections, but that is just a tendency based on a buying habits as opposed to what I enjoy reading. Like it's easier to think about what I am purchasing when I am purchasing single author things, and kind of understanding what I'm getting. So I think that's a buying habit tendency, not a reading habit tendency. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe a slight appeal to that, but not necessarily what you are seeking.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Are you interested in reading something new or contemporary, or are you open to something older, or are you more interested in something sort of like classic or foundational?
I am not sure. That's a complicated question, actually, because I was thinking about this one. I feel like my understanding of the history of feminist thinking and its changes over time is not as strong as it could be. So I would certainly appreciate something like that, but I would almost prefer having it broken down by readers looking back at it than reading the originals at this point, right? Like I kind of need an in to it before I go straight into the original things. So I'm not sure if I want the classics or not, unless they are like, I need context. I don't know enough of history connected to why they are thinking you know, right? Like I would appreciate having some of the context that helps me understand where their thinking is coming from at a certain point. So I am totally down for something that is in the realm of looking at the historical context of it, but probably not actually historical collections, mm-hmm. older collections. But I'm also certainly down for just general, more modern collections as well.
Okay, cool. My next question, is there a certain... That's not a word. are there any particular areas that you're interested in reading more about or focusing on in terms of like intersections with class or race or something about like reproductive rights in particular or something intersecting with pop culture analysis or environmentalism or healthcare? What are your interest areas?
I feel like healthcare and the intersections with healthcare and the intersections of pop culture are the ones that I've already read in the most.
Okay.
So maybe not those areas because I've already read contemporary collections in those areas a fair amount. I don't think I've read as many in other areas, although maybe race would be the next one I've read the most in. So maybe intersections with sexuality and would be good intersections because I don't think mm-hmm. I've read as much in that. Or, yeah, I don't know, any of the other ones, environmental, the other things you said as well. I haven't read in those as much.
Okay, cool.
So sexuality, meaning, sorry, like sexual orientation or just like sex in general?
Well, actually, okay, that raises an interesting one. I guess it could be like... feminism's relationship to sex, that like was literally not something I thought of until you said the word sex. I know that's not where you were going, but that's what I was like, oh, huh. So as in sexual identity is what I was referring to. But sex or sexual identity as in the act of sex and mm-hmm. feminism's relation to the act of sex could be interesting.
Yeah. Could be both. We will see. Okay, so you'd meant like sexual orientation and I'm assuming like intersections
yeah.
with like trans feminism is also thumbs up.
Yes, absolutely. I've read a little bit in that area, but not nearly as much as I feel like I could mm-hmm. too. Yeah.
Is it okay if the collection is North American centric or are you more interested in an international perspective?
It is okay if it is North American centric at the moment. While I appreciate that too much of my thinking is North American centric because that is where I live and how my life functions around me, there are certain things about the world in which I live in on a daily basis that I need to understand better. So yeah,
that is your context.
Yeah.
And feel free to skip this last question if you like don't have an answer off the top of your head. But are there some like feminist authors that you know you've already read like a lot of? Or
yeah, no, there aren't any that I have read a lot of. It's been like a book here, a book there from different authors, as opposed to like digging into someone's work. So if it's been one that's like super been talked about and everybody was hearing the name of the book, there's a fair chance that I have read it. But if it's one a little bit less well known mm-hmm. by that author, fair chance I've missed it.
Okay. So more likely, yeah, that you've read, if it's like a prominent feminist author, that you've read like the starting place for that.
Yes.
But have not like... drilled down.
Their big one, the one everybody mentions about like, read this one by them. I may have read that one by them. Mm-hmm. But I won't have drilled down any farther because there's nobody that I've really dug into their work.
Cool. I think that's everything I have. Run out of space on my envelope.
I have a bunch of sticky notes all over my table now because that's the paper I had near me.
We're all being entirely too thorough.
We are, yeah. I was just looking at the time and going, oh no, we got to speed these last few up. So my next one, as the requester, is either this is an either or fiction set at Christmas time or nonfiction about Christmas.
Okay, so if fiction, is there a particular tone that you're hoping for, like warm and fuzzy versus dark and gritty?
For Christmas stuff, probably warm and fuzzy is better, but I don't mind like a more serious tone. Like I love a science fiction story set at Christmas.
Okay.
But I think the only thing I really don't want is like a very heterosexual romance set at Christmas, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's good.
Because there's a lot of those.
Okay. So if it's not necessarily tone, you are strongly towards sci-fi, I think, reading in general. Mm-hmm. Is there other aspects that really draw you towards fiction, whether that's writing style or characters?
Yeah, I think I mentioned previously I prefer sort of character-driven to plot-driven necessarily. What else drives my fiction reading? I don't know. I think I'm okay to leave it at that.
Okay. So in terms of nonfiction, were you thinking more sort of image of the heart style nonfiction or text heavy like cultural criticism?
Oh, interesting. I was thinking more cultural criticism or history.
Mm-hmm. And would that be your preference?
That's my preference, yeah.
Okay. And then were you hoping for something that's more about Western expressions of Christmas, or would elsewhere be appealing to you as well?
Yeah, I think elsewhere would definitely be appealing. I know more about Christmas than the average bear.
Really?
So yeah, anything sort of unusual, you know, quirky Christmas nonfiction, and anything, yeah, that I might not have encountered before will be appealing.
Okay. And is there anything that you've read that you remember that you really hated?
Anything like related to Christmas?
Yeah.
There's definitely some lyrics to Christmas songs you've read and really hated in your other podcast.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, in general, it's so I'm a big Christmas weirdo, and it's kind of tough because a lot of like very conservative people are also big Christmas weirdos. And I want to avoid that. I would love a more progressive Christmas fiction or nonfiction.
However, I believe, RJ, if I recall correctly, you're not into Santa fucking.
I'm not into Santa fucking. I read an elf fucking book for this show. So let's not rule that out entirely. But people trying to bed Santa is not my bag.
Important note.
That was not on my list of possible things that we were going to be talking about tonight.
Also, nobody could see, but I did do like finger quotes around Santa fucking.
Thanks.
Quote unquote Santa fucking.
This is like seared into my optic now.
I have to think about it a lot for my other podcasts.
I mean, there are very prominent songs that are basically about that.
A surprising amount of songs, yeah.
Okay. Is all of your Christmas reading on Goodreads?
I think so. I don't have a ton.
Okay.
Our special advantage that we have. Access to each other's Goodreads lists.
Except somebody doesn't use it.
Yeah, except me.
Oh, well. We don't always have access to all the Goodreads for the people who are going to ask us stuff. So.
Yep.
All right. I think that's it for me for now. So my ask was for Russian language learning materials.
And surprise, surprise, I'm the one that gets to answer this one. Neither Anna or RJ wanted to do it.
Nope.
So my first question is what level of Russian learning are you looking at?
Super basic introductory.
Okay. My second one is, you're saying materials. Are you looking for something that's multimedia, or do you just want a book?
I would love something that has a listening component available.
Okay. Are you looking for something that's more grammar focused, or something that's more like I guess, like, object focused?
I think I'm looking for something that's more object story focused. Mm-hmm. Because I definitely don't have enough words to be able to worry about the grammar right now.
Right. Okay. I think that's about it.
Are you looking to learn to speak or to read write?
Well, they all sort of, in my mind, they all have to sort of go together. But
okay.
I guess, do you know the Cyrillic alphabet, or is that the first step?
I know like 70% of the Cyrillic alphabet.
Okay. So that's step one then. Make sure that that's in it. The audiobook describing how the Cyrillic alphabet works. Perfect.
Yep. Perfect.
Well, part of the problem is the Cyrillic alphabet has characters which are similar to the Roman alphabet, but they're pronounced totally different, which is why I need the multimedia aspect to it. Because if they aren't linked, then I have a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the final one is me asking for a recommendation for a space opera.
All right, and I'm going to be tackling this one, or attempting to. First, could you just define what makes a space opera? What makes it different for you than just like a science fiction?
Spaceships.
Yep. Okay.
It's got to be interplanetary.
Okay.
It doesn't have to have space aliens, but it does need to have different cultures of humans. If there's humans and they're on a bunch of different planets and in different solar systems, that's fine. But it does need to have that scale to some extent. I don't want it just to be like there's humans on Earth and Mars. That's not really what I'm looking for, I guess.
Right. Are there any space operas or science fiction spaceship books that you've read, stories that you've read that you didn't enjoy?
Oh, that I didn't enjoy.
You can also tell me about ones you did, but.
When I think about space opera and what I really enjoy, my first thought is Mass Effect, the video game series. Mm-hmm. And so that, but like less military.
Yeah.
And also potentially less human. I love seeing alien cultures. I think it's something that, like, while I wouldn't describe her work as a space opera, really, Ursula K. Le Guin's books are amazing at creating alien seeming cultures.
Yeah. I was already thinking of a Le Guin story I really like, but yeah.
And also, like, Ancillary Justice is one of my favorite books, because it was the point of view character was so kind of alien in a multitude of ways and how they viewed the world. That I thought was really interesting.
Do you have any preferences in terms of length? Do you want like a big, long, epic scale? Or like, are you happy to read a novella as long as it has like lots of different cultures and planets?
It's so hard to say because I feel like my reading this year has been like, as with so many people, just like, not great. So I don't know how I would react to getting like a 600 page book right now.
Okay.
And maybe I would be like, amazing, I cannot look at a screen for so much time and read this. Or maybe I will just constantly get distracted and take forever to read it. I don't know. So maybe shorter is better in that case. Like, it doesn't have to be like 100 pages, but like 300.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I was trying to think of things in this genre that I might have read, overlap we might have. And yeah, Le Guin was definitely one I was already thinking of, so that's great to hear. The Becky Chambers series that starts with The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet.
Yes.
I'm assuming you read that.
I've read the first one, yes.
Okay. Did you enjoy that one?
Yes.
Okay.
The other recent one in that area that I enjoyed is called... There's that one and another one I keep getting mixed up with it.
Big Ship at the End of the Universe?
Big Ship at the End of the Universe is the other one.
I also get those titles mixed up.
I no longer remember which is which, really.
Big Ship, Small Angry Planet, whatever it is.
Big Angry Planet at the End of the Universe.
Okay, So this episode is super long, and I think I have all the information I need.
And then 6 months from now, we'll come back and be like, did you read any of them? And the answer will be no, 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 yes.
Yeah. It'll be no, 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 yes, my name's Megan.
yep, that's exactly.
I've read the ones you recommended for me and all of the ones you recommended for each other.
That's what I expect. I totally expect Megan to have not only read all the ones that we recommended to Megan, but all the ones that we recommended to each other.
Hey, man, we got to have goals.
I will say, like, this is my 2021 reading resolution, is to read all three of the books that are recommended to me.
Oh, yay. Lovely.
I think that's, like, a fairly reasonable reading resolution. Read three books.
Yeah.
I don't trust myself.
I mean, my reading resolution has been read one book before, and I didn't do it.
I know. Me too.
So originally the plan was that this would just be one episode with us asking each other RA questions and then giving each other our recommendations. However, we are more long-winded than we thought we would be. So in fact, we'll be back next Tuesday, November 24th, with another episode. You only have to wait a week for it, in which we'll be giving out the recommendations that we came up for each other. In the meantime, if you have recommendations for us based on what we said in this episode, please send them in. We'd love to hear what they are. And if you have any requests, if you have readers' advisory questions yourself, if you're looking for a specific type of book, let us know as well, and we'll do our best to answer the question for you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Club for Masochists. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Please like, rate, subscribe, and leave us a review.
For all of our URLs and social media accounts, the four in our name is a numeral. You can go to our website at bookclub4m.com, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/bookclub4m, and find us on Twitter at BookClub4M or Instagram at BookClub4M. Our email address is BookClub4M@gmail.com.
On our website, you can find show notes that will provide links to all of the books that we mentioned and social media info for everyone who appeared in this episode.
You can also suggest a genre or title, or as I just said, request a give us a reader's advisory question if you have something, if you want a suggestion. We have a form you can fill out. And when we don't promise to read any titles you suggest to us, we will promise to answer any requests that you send in for recommendations.
All opinions are our own and do not reflect our places of employment, if they exist.
Our theme music is To Arrakis by Dark Sun from the Free Music Archive.
New episodes are the first and third Tuesday of every month.
Join us again on Tuesday, December 1st, when we'll be discussing the genre that you chose for us to read in a poll, New Weird Fiction.
As opposed to that old weird fiction.
Then, on Tuesday, December 15th, it will be our Best of 2020 episode, assuming there was anything best about 2020.
To clarify, Best of 2020 is both best things we read in 2020 for the podcast specifically, best things we read not for the podcast in 2020, and they don't actually have to be things that were published in 2020. So if you're looking for the new hotness, go somewhere else.
Yeah, we're not up to date around here. Matthew is tired with us.
Perfect. I will probably cut a bunch of this stuff out.
I'm a little confused by what's happening in the document, but that's okay. I'm going to let you finish.
When I came back, I was like, did you guys somehow get six things ahead? Like, how did you get way down there to the horror one already?
Yes, and I'm the one fulfilling this request. I might wait a minute because there's a plumbing noise happening.